All right, it's not the best college football Saturday. Next weekend's insane. Right, Denton? Next weekend is Oregon-Ohio State.
Yeah, next weekend is, as we like to call it, that's crack. Oregon-Ohio State.
Yeah.
You get Ole Miss-LSU next weekend, too, I believe. Like, there are some matchups on the slate next weekend when you're like, oh, I'm sitting on the couch for the entire day.
Oregon State, Ohio State, Oregon next week. Penn State, USC next week. Texas, Oklahoma next week. Like you said, Ole Miss, LSU next week. Tennessee, Florida, for whatever that's worth. K-State at Colorado. Big games next week. This week, not so much, but we're pulling in Denton from up north in Maine, where he's off on a nice little vacation for a few days with his fiance. So what do we got this weekend? I mean, I actually am interested in a game tonight. I don't know if you're interested in Syracuse UNLV at all, but that UNLV quarterback that was the replacement was pretty good last week.
Yeah, I think we got two good games tonight. Yeah, you know, UNLV and Syracuse have really like dominated the Friday slate, which I don't mind. Yeah, they've each had a couple of big wins on Fridays, and then you get Michigan State and Oregon as well, and you know, finally getting to see Oregon up against slightly better competition than what we've seen them for the beginning portion of the season. I still have some questions about their offensive execution because they're doing this thing where they're racking up a ton of yards. They're just not finding the end zone. So getting to see those two, both at 9-2, by the way, so like later kicks. So if you're a fan of high school football, you can go watch a high school football game. And then by the time you're back, you're really not missing any of the college football, which that to me is like perfect to somebody that likes high school football and college football. But I'm really curious to see if what UNLV did last week minus their quarterback with the new guy filling in, if that is going to be the reality of what they are without Sluka, or if this new quarterback was kind of just a flash in the pan using a little bit of that momentum of us versus the world kind of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, remember last week, the story of the college football world was the UNLV quarterback, Sluka, basically leaving school, claiming that he did not get his NIL money. It was a bad look for everybody. It was a bad look for the kid, bad look for the school, bad look for the NCAA. The guy that came in and replaced him had a big day, and they routed Fresno State 59-14 to remain undefeated. Just so everybody understands, Fresno actually played Michigan pretty tough in the opener, and UNLV is one of those teams right now that is in the mix for that playoff spot for the non-Power Four. Now, they've got a massive game later in the season against Boise State. But, all right, let's move to Saturday. What do you got?
So I think the most compelling game is Missouri on the road against Texas A&M. A&M's a short favorite. They're ranked 25. Yep. Missouri's in the top 10. You know, Missouri's one of the teams, as we get to this point in the season, Kevin, where I feel like we start to have a good idea of which teams are really, really good and which teams maybe were ranked a little too highly at the start of the season. Missouri still feels like a big question mark because they have one of the best offensive players in the nation in Luther Burden III. But everywhere else, you kind of look at them and say, I was expecting more. You know, Brady Cook had a really good season last year, quarterback for them. But you watch him now and you're like, I'm expecting a little bit more production here. It feels like they've been skating by teams where they should have been blowing them out, or the expectation is that they'd be blowing them out. So the fact that they're now underdogs on the road in a tough environment to play in Kyle Field, Texas A&M, that one is going to be really, really intriguing to me. Like, is Missouri what we hope they're going to be, or was last year kind of just an outlier of what that program is? Because, you know, I don't know if they are a team in the SEC that can afford multiple losses and still get into the college football playoffs. So this weekend is a massive, massive game for them. I don't know where the public has fallen on that game in particular, so I guess I would pose that question to you. Is our public on Texas A&M? Are they on Missouri? But
I'm pulling it up. It was not a game that made my list because it wasn't it wasn't overwhelming. But let me just pull up a thing. But what I was going to ask you is, has Reed, the quarterback that came in for the kid, Wagman, has he been any better for A&M?
yes and no. I mean, they're winning, but like Texas A&M does not have a quarterback, whether it's either of those two guys, that is going to jump off the stat sheet at you. Like in this era where you got guys like Jackson Dart every week except for last week, putting up these crazy numbers. That's not really what Texas A&M is, but they've been a pretty good defensive team, and the quarterbacks have been doing just enough to come away with some like comfortable wins, and a couple short ones, but some comfortable wins. So I don't know if he's that much more of a difference maker, whether it be him or Wegman, at least from a statistical standpoint.
Yeah, there's more Missouri action, by the way, but it's not like super overwhelming. But there's definitely more Missouri public action in this game, with A&M favored as the 25th ranked team in the country against the undefeated 9th ranked team. All right, go ahead. What else do we have to look forward to tomorrow?
I really was hoping that like Washington and Michigan was going to be a good game, and maybe it ends up being a good game, because as you know and I know, Michigan still is not great at throwing the ball forward, but their defense has looked really good over the past couple of weeks, and that was what we expected that they were going to be this weekend. The run game has looked really good. It's funny, Donovan Edwards is a guy that made like the video game cover, but it sure seems like Khalil Mullings is the running back one there. And he's been really, really good. He was really, really good last week. I actually had him on the show last week. Great interview as well. So I'm expecting Michigan to run the ball down the throat of Washington. I was hoping, and I think when that game was scheduled, the expectation is that was going to be like this is a main event. Like, you want to watch this at 7 p.m., 7:30, whenever it kicks off on Saturday. And now we're sitting here like, nobody really likes Michigan that much. And, Washington's in this phase of transition, so that was supposed to be the big game of the weekend, and I think for most people, you're going to look at it and say, can't wait for next weekend.
Denton, by the way, the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM Friday nights and Saturday nights. Do you give Arkansas a chance Saturday night to hang in there against Tennessee? I think I do.
Hang in there, yes. I don't know. What is the line for that? Is it double digits in favor?
It's 13 and a half. This is going to be probably an Arkansas play coming up for me.
Yeah, I would say I would give them a real good chance to hang in. Probably cover the number, because that 13 and a half is a pretty big number. But it feels like a game where they're close. And then the fourth quarter comes and Tennessee slowly pulls away and they win by like 10 or 12. I really like Tennessee this year. Like, I'm excited to see them go against teams that are actually good, or that can actually hang with them a little bit, just to kind of see what they're like. I mean, that game against Oklahoma a couple weeks ago, that was a fun one, but I really want to see what's going to happen when they ask Nico Eye, this hotshot quarterback. I'm really excited to see what's going to happen when they ask him to actually go win a game. Like, hey, we need you on a really big drive. Go out there and make that drive happen. Because as fun as the game against Oklahoma was, and I think the score showed it a lot closer than it actually was, they had a pretty good advantage in the fact that Oklahoma had two quarterbacks that could not throw the ball. So I'm excited to see what Tennessee can do when they start to get pushed around. Hopefully Arkansas does that.
It's interesting to look at Arkansas, Denton. They have two very close losses, and in both games they had fourth quarter leads against Oklahoma State on the road earlier in the season, and A&M last week. They lost 21-17. In those games, they're -5 in the turnover margin, and yet they could have won both of those games.
Yeah.
And so I know they haven't beaten anybody. They beat Auburn on the road. That doesn't mean much. They beat Trent Dilfer's team, UAB. That doesn't mean much. But I think at home on a Saturday night, that's an underrated college football atmosphere when they're decent. It's too bad they didn't win last week, because they probably would have been close to being ranked. But I kind of like their chances. What else? Because I think there's a late night game that's interesting. But what do you have before we get there?
Well, I will say one final thing on Arkansas, that their quarterback is a lot of fun. There's a couple of quarterbacks in the SEC with Taylen Green, Arkansas, and Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
that are good
Pavia
enough to keep teams that are not great in games where they have really no rhyme or reason to hang around in. So I think he is enough fun to, at least if you're not loving the game, if you're not playing the game, to at least turn it on for a little bit, just to kind of see what he is.
By the way, did KJ Jefferson's at UCF, right?
Yeah, huge boy. They got shredded last week, but yeah,
I know.
UCF with Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, because I actually thought that he was I think if they had him at Arkansas right now, that they'd be in better shape. But anyway, go ahead. What else?
Well, I know Penn State's in action. You'll have to help me a little bit because I don't have the schedule up right in front of me because I'm driving through, not the boondocks of Maine, but, the coast of Maine. But Penn State's in action this week. I was bummed last week with how Drew Aller played. You know, I thought their running game looked really strong, and we know they have a really good running attack. But we've been asking Drew Aller, hey, go out there and throw to win a game. And I get that if you don't need to throw to win a game and you can do it running, do it running. But I think Illinois is a good team. Not a great team, but a good team. I would have loved to see him have a really strong performance last week, and it feels like we didn't get that. So I want to see him throw and put up some impressive numbers to justify all of the hype that's been around him for what feels like almost 2 years now.
Look, this right now, to me, last week was a chance to really make an early season statement. They won the game 21-7, and it was, they didn't cover, which was unfortunate for me, but they certainly had chances to cover. Illinois scored early, and that was, basically it. They play UCLA. UCLA cannot score. They're not being,
I wonder why that is.
They're not being inspired by their new offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy. But Penn State is a 28-point favorite in a noon start in Happy Valley against UCLA. That just seems like a one-sided beatdown. I think it does. I give Iowa's defense a chance against Ohio State, not to win the game, but to kind of hang in there. I think Vanderbilt, like we've talked about, Pavi is really good, and with Alabama coming off that emotional win over Georgia, that would be a spot, I think, tomorrow for Vandy to play. Big Vandy, lost a heartbreaker last week in overtime to Missouri. Their kicker shanked a kick that would have forced another overtime. And then I've got one for you. First of all, Michigan, Washington. Washington is favored over Michigan on Saturday night.
That's crazy. That's so nuts.
Yeah. Michigan, for this. Michigan in wins over USC and Minnesota, okay? In their win over USC, they threw for 32 yards in the air. 32. Last week, they really stepped it up in their win over Minnesota. 86 passing yards. They cannot throw the forward pass with Alex Orji. They can run the football. They cannot throw the football. I bet you they have to throw it against Washington. I think Washington wins big.
They're going to have to. Real quickly about Iowa and Ohio State. That might be another sneaky game. Ohio State is very similar to what I thought Ole Miss was in that they look really good against teams that they're supposed to smash. But what happens when you play a team that not maybe doesn't have your number per se, but is at least in a equal territory when it comes to talent? Because Ole Miss for the first couple of weeks with Jackson Dart, you're getting all these graphics about how he's on a faster start than Joe Burrow when he won a Heisman,
right?
Or Mac Jones the first four games. And really, Kevin, if you look back at that Mac Jones year, because it was COVID and you weren't playing the non-conference games, you're only playing SEC teams. Mac Jones was shredding guys in the SEC, and Jackson Dart's putting these massive numbers up, and then you play a team in Kentucky and he gets he gets punched in the mouth and then repeatedly punched in the mouth. I don't think that's going to happen with Ohio State's offense. I think they're much more balanced. But going up against a team like Iowa, we're going to finally get to see what this Will Howard-led Ohio State team looks like, because the first couple, with all due respect to Michigan State, you're not really getting – that's not a litmus test. You're supposed to crush Michigan State the way that they did. So I'm curious to see what he is going to look like and what that offense is going to look like to see if they continue rolling. Because if Ohio State – if Will Howard looks monumentally better than what Kyle McCord did last year, they should be the favorite to win the national championship.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think we saw a game Saturday night that was one for the ages with both teams having a chance. And by the way, the guy that we don't love stepping up and having a massive fourth quarter, which may spark him, Carson Beck. I have a question for you. Last week, Ole Miss lost to Kentucky at home. All right, they lost at home. And Kentucky, Stoops, by the way, is one of the most underrated defensive coaches of our time in college football. How did they lose to South Carolina? But that's beside the point. My question for you is, Ole Miss lost last week to Kentucky. Missouri's got Texas A&M. Who's more likely to overcome that one loss and make a playoff? Ole Miss or Missouri if Missouri loses in College Station?
If Ole Miss only has one loss, I would say them because they have LSU. They're going to play South Carolina. I think Georgia is on their schedule, and I believe they play Texas A&M as well at some point. So
they don't play Texas A&M. They play at LSU. They play Oklahoma at home. They play Georgia at home. They have games against Arkansas and Florida as well.
Right, so not Texas A&M, but Oklahoma. So maybe that Oklahoma game looks a little worse now. Oklahoma has
Missouri has to go to Tuscaloosa, and they get Oklahoma at home, but they go to Alabama. See, I was having this conversation with a friend of mine, and he's like, well, Ole Miss would be the higher-ranked team. Ole Miss is a higher-profile team. I'm like, look, Missouri's got the biggest opportunity, and that would be in Tuscaloosa to, by the way, play well and lose and potentially still have a shot. I think you're probably right. It's probably Ole Miss, but it's funny because Ole Miss's loss would be to Kentucky, and Missouri's loss would be to a ranked team on the road.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Kentucky finishes the year. I think Kentucky can make or break that conversation. If they, if they beat Ole Miss, which they did, and then they like fall apart towards the end of the year, and you're saying, well, like, yeah, at the time that was a tough loss, but like, look at what they are now. There is a lifeline, if you will, for the committee to be like, yeah, I don't know that we trust that as a good loss, so we're going to go with Missouri. But I do think the thing that Ole Miss has in their back pocket is a quarterback. And I think when it comes to the 12-team college football playoff, that there are going to be people that say, well, we like a quarterback and we like a certain offense better. So if it comes down to each of these teams have a good resume, like let's just say hypothetically.
You don't like Brady Cook. You're not a Brady Cook guy.
I'm not. I'm a Luther Burden guy for sure.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I'm not even that much of a Jackson Dart guy. But I think his perception nationally is a little greater than Brady Cook. So I think that might be something that's in the favor of Ole Miss when it comes to those discussions if they end up having a very similar resume.
I like Brady Cook, and I think he's a big-time clutch performer. All right, the last game I was just going to mention is where game day is. I mean, they're in Berkeley for this big ACC matchup between Miami and Cal. Look, Miami basically saved, in many ways, kind of saved their season last week with, we didn't even talk about this on Monday's show. Virginia Tech got screwed last Friday night. That was my take on it. That was not a play that was conclusive based on video replay. Even if your gut tells you that that was not a catch, they called it a catch. They took 15 minutes to look at it, which by definition means it's not conclusive. And they overturned it anyway. I thought that was horrible. We didn't talk about this Monday. What did you think?
I hated the way that they went about that. If they would have, because they made the call, right, and they, like you mentioned, they did the replay bit, and then they just said, we're overturning it, game over, and then ESPN cut to boxing. I was like, give us a reason why. Because they ultimately did on Twitter, and the reason that they gave was the reason that I thought it was going to be overturned, which is that the ball touched a Miami player when he was out of bounds, therefore the play is dead. But they didn't give us that reasoning until, 14 hours later. So I understand why Virginia Tech fans would be furious about that. I ultimately do think it was the right call, but the officiating has to be better, and you have to be more clear about that to let them know this is what we are seeing. This is why the call was made, because the way they went about it was awful. But you're 100% right in that kind of saved at least the beginning portion of Miami's season, because if they lose that game to a team in Virginia Tech that obviously, as you know, I had
your guy played well. Drones played really well in that game.
Really well, but like that was a game that Miami had to win. So the fact that it was even that close was a tad bit alarming, because I thought Cam Ward played really well, and then you got to see some of the downsides, which we hadn't seen with him in Miami, that it's not all sunshines and rainbows.
I give Cal a shot. on Saturday night, late Saturday night in Berkeley. I think Cal's played really well so far. They lost to Florida State last week, which is painful. But they were 3-0 going into that game. They went to Auburn and won before we knew what Auburn was. I actually think that'll be a fired up, environment, and not an easy one for Cam Ward, although he's been great. All right, I got to run. Did you have anything else?
I can't wait for that environment, just because I've never seen a pumped up Cal crowd before. So seeing what they're going to be like with game day there should be a lot of fun. That's not
when Tedford was there, they had some good teams, and it was important out there for them. I always felt like their environment was much better than Stanford's environment when Stanford was good.
But, yeah, I would agree with that, but I mean, God, Stanford was so much fun when Andrew Luck was there, just to watch them late. I mean, they were the definition of Pac-12 after dark.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
All right, see ya.
Denton Day, everybody, on this upcoming college football weekend. When we come back, I've got my smell test. Sorry, there are some college picks included. That's next.